श्यान्महत्सेवया विप्राः पुण्यतीर्थनिषेवनात्।
O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva.
Shrinvatam svakata krishnah punyashravana kirtanah hridayantasto hyabhadrani vidunoti suhritsatam.
Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted.
Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki.
By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact.
Tada rajastamo bhavah kamalobadayascha ye cheta etair anabiddam sitam satve prasidati.
As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy.
Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate.
Thus, established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association.
Vidyate hridaya grantesh chidyante sarva samshayah kshiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmanishvare.
Thus, the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated.
Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shasti Gaur Bhakti Vrindiki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gova Gopida, Shama Kunda Radha Kudi, Gidi Gavardhan Ki Jai, Shivindavan Tham Ki Jai, Navadip Tham Ki Jai, Ganga Jamuna Tulsi, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindiki Jai, Samavetta Bhakta Vrindiki Jai, Go Premanandi, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashachare Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhavam Canto 11, Chapter 1, Verse 9. Tannimitta Savai Sapo Yadrisho Dvija Sattama Katam Eka Manam Behida Eta Savan Vadasvame. Yannamitta, arising by what cause? Sa, that, vai, indeed, sapa, curse, vyadrasa, what kind? Dvija sattama, O purest of twice-born brahmanas. Katam, how? Ekatmanam, of those who shared the same soul. Beda, disagreement. Etat, this. Sarvam, all. Vadasva, please tell. Me, to me. Translation, King Parikshit continued, inquiring, what was the motive for this curse? What it consists of, O purest of the twice born? And how could such a disagreement have arisen among the Yadus who all shared the same goal of life? Please tell me all these things. Purport, Ekatmana means that the Yadus all shared the same opinion, namely that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the goal of their life. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj could not see any obvious reason for such a destructive quarrel among the members of the Yadu dynasty, and he was anxious to know the actual cause. King Parikshit continued inquiring, what was the motive for this curse? What did it consist of, O purest of the twice born? And how could such a disagreement have arisen among the Yadus who all shared the same goal of life? Please tell me all these things. So the reason for King Parikshit's doubt is given here. Of course, in the previous verse also, he was asking these questions, but here the real doubt arises because of the nature of the Yadus. So they are described as ekatmanam, those whose very soul was only Krishna. They lived for only Krishna. In other words, they were devotees on the highest level. And they always thought of Krishna alone and none of their own self-interests. So how could this whole event happen? that means the curse and then the quarrel among the Yadus. So the intention here is to show that those who are devotees of the Lord are free from the influence of material energy. And thus, whatever problems we see in this material world, such as cursing and quarrels and fighting and disagreements, should never arise among the devotees, especially those devotees who are on the highest level. So the Yadus were on the highest level, so how is it possible for them to have ended up quarreling with each other and fighting and ultimately killing each other? So, in the material world, we have this situation very similar to what happened to the Yadus. People are described, the Jivas are described as having separate mentality. Everyone thinks of themselves as separate. They are separate from Krishna, and they're separate from each other. So this is the consciousness of the Jivas in the material world. In other words, each Jiva regards himself as an independent living entity. This is the nature of material consciousness and ignorance, a sense of independence and separation from everything else. No dependence on anything else. Under avidya, this type of consciousness arises, and it takes the form of ahankara, where the jiva identifies with the material body, which is very limiting. If he's simply an atma, then he's not confined to material time and space so much, but when he's got a material body, definitely it has limits of time and space, etc. So the jiva identifies with the material body. Of course, he also has a subtle body, which is also material, but of a finer nature, and he also identifies with that. So the jiva is covered by two bodies, the subtle body and the gross body. And these create a limitation on the jiva. So the jiva completely identifies with his material emotions through the subtle body, and then with the material body. So he thinks of himself in terms of his birth, or his family, or his country, etc. So this is the beginning stage of a jiva's material consciousness. Then he begins to desire to enjoy in that body. So to do that, he has to do activities. He uses his senses, and then he uses his body in different ways in order to get enjoyment of the senses. And then he gets some result, and he may get some happiness, or he may get some dissatisfaction, or he may even get suffering. And so by constantly doing this, he understands what to avoid, the suffering, and what to take for himself, which gives him enjoyment. And so in this way, the jiva leads his life in this material world. In the meantime, while he's suffering and enjoying in the material world, when he does his activities, he's creating karma. So these karmas put a limitation on future bodies. So due to his activities, then he's forced to take another body, and he gets limited in certain ways because of karma. So on all of this, the jiva is still identifying himself with a material body, etc., and doing his activities life after life. And in the process of doing this, then because he thinks of himself as an individual, he must compete. with other individuals. Everybody cannot share the same thing. So there's competition. And so the jiva thinks in terms of this is mine or this is yours. And because of this, then quarrels arise. That's mine, it's not yours. And so there is quarrel, and there may be fighting. And we see this takes place everywhere in the material world. Somehow or other, because the jiva has this idea of possession and independence and the desire to enjoy, inevitably he must come into conflict with other living entities. And then he has to have disagreement, quarrel, fighting, etc. So we see that this is the nature of the world. Of course, among the animals, we will also see conflict, but it is not so extensive. There's conflict, and generally they try to resolve their conflicts by staying away from each other in different groups. But human beings have more conflicts. So we have the result of this is that we had not just individual conflicts, but we have mass conflicts. This is what we call wars, when you have whole groups of people fighting with each other. So this is a particular symptom of the human being, which we don't see in the animals. We don't have animal wars. At most, we have two little packs of animals. They fight for some time, and then they go away. But we have these wars that go on in human society with huge amounts of people, and a huge amount of death also. This is the peculiar feature of the human, that they have these huge conflicts, huge wars, etc. And in fact, we have the Battle of Kurukshetra, huge war. And here we find another conflict going to take place among the Yadus themselves, in which all the Yadus were all annihilated also, apparently. So this is the nature of the material world. So at the Battle of Kurukshetra, the purpose was to annihilate the demons, the material bodies of demons. Here it's quite different because the Yadus are not materialistic people. They are devotees of the Lord. They have spiritual bodies. So how can they also participate in the same type of quarrels and wars as material people and end up getting killed? Quite different. So it looks impossible. So that is true. All these symptoms that we see in the material world with conflict and quarrel and war, etc., don't take place in the spiritual world. When the Lord comes to the material world, this may take place as we see Krishna killing demons or battle of Kurukshetra, because the Lord is manifesting within the material world, and we do have materialistic people within the pastimes, and the Lord kills them. So we get war like the Battle of Kurukshetra. So that's understandable. But how can we have a conflict between two spiritual entities? That is, between Yadus and Yadus. How can they conflict with each other? If it's between a demon and a devotee, fine. Or between the Lord and a demon, fine. But when it's devotee to devotee, that cannot be possible. It's only between materialist and materialist, or Krishna and a demon, like that. But not between devotee and devotee. Very peculiar. Of course, we find in the spiritual world there is something similar, but not exactly the same, where we do have some sort of conflict, but that's within rasa itself, where we have devotees in conflict with devotees, but it is not real conflict. So we'll have a devotee fighting with devotee, but it is only playing. For instance, they will wrestle, or they will have games, ball games or whatever like this, and so they're competing with each other this way. So that's the extent of their competition and conflict or whatever. So it's only play. Huh? But here, it looks like it's not play. Yeah? Because the Yadus kill each other. Quite different. Huh? Hmm? So it looks very similar to the material world. Huh? Hmm? Therefore, it looks impossible. How can this happen with the Yadus? Huh? Hmm? So that is true. Yeah. The conflicts that we see and what looks like a material conflict cannot actually take place among those who are devotees of the Lord, especially those who are close to the Lord and those who have spiritual bodies. They can never do this. Why? Because Eka Atma. Everybody has, Krishna has their final goal. So there should be no conflict. Everybody's a devotee of the Lord. So the only competition is in serving, that's all. But it's not in the sense of taking something for oneself. Material conflict is based on, I want this for myself. But that does not take place here because nobody wants anything for themselves. Everything is for Krishna. Everything is for Krishna's service. So therefore they cannot compete with each other in the same way, with hostility, because they have no attachment for anything for themselves. Everybody only has attachment for Krishna. Yeah? So that is their outstanding quality. So no possibility of material conflict taking place among these individuals because of their complete dedication to the Supreme Lord. Of course, we find within rasa itself that sometimes that competition takes the form of envy among the gopis. So one gopi is envious of the other gopi, etc. So that type of envy exists, particularly within Madhurya rasa. But that is also not long-lived. It is short-lived again. And it disappears. It is only an aspect of, we can say, it's a vyabhachari bhava, temporary emotion that manifests and disappears. And it adds color to the rasa. But here we see something quite different. We find this quarrel taking place, and then they fight with each other, and they kill each other until there's nobody left. Quite astonishing. So this is something which is part of the material world. We'll find conflicts like this in the material world where everybody fights and everybody dies. So here we find a similar situation. How can it take place? And the answer is, it cannot take place. Because they are ekatma. Everybody has Krishna as their goal of service. So there should be no conflict. And there should be no fault. And there should be no curse. Because even if people curse them, the curse should have no effect. This is an impossibility to actually happen. And thus, the explanation is that this was the Lord's arrangement, as was previously explained. The Lord contemplated, and then he made this particular arrangement for his pastimes. Therefore, we cannot project material faults and material qualities upon the Yadus at all. Yeah? It's all Krishna's arrangement only. Yeah? Just as when Brahma steals the calves and cowherd boys, then it looks like offense, aparad, in one sense, because he is interfering with Krishna's pastimes. Yeah. But then it's explained that the Lord promised Brahma that he would never be bewildered at all within his whole lifetime. So then how could he do that? And the answer is, the Lord did this for his pastimes. So therefore, we cannot criticize Brahma and put him at fault. So similarly, it's also explained that even the devatas, they look faulty. So we have Indra fighting with Krishna. pouring rain on Vrindavan, harassing the devotees. So he looks quite evil in one sense, like a demon almost. But we also know he's a devotee. He's been appointed by the Supreme Lord. So these are the devatas or types of devotees who are assigned certain roles in the material world because of their devotion to the Lord. And they're in Sattva-gun. They're in a higher planetary system, not the Earth planet. How they can get bewildered like this and start fighting with Krishna? Looks impossible. So again, explanation is ultimately we should not blame the devatas for their mistakes. Also, arrangement of the Lord is there for certain pastimes. So we shouldn't criticize them as devotees because of these faults. Nevertheless, of course, the lesson we learn from this is we do have to be careful in devotional service, even if we are devotees, that we never fall into this position of committing some sort of aparat or whatever, because we're jivas, anything can happen. But in these cases, these are arrangements of the Supreme Lord. In fact, we find that these are not the only examples. There's many examples of this, how the Lord bewilders the devotee. So similarly, Parikshit was bewildered to insult the Brahmana and put a snake around his neck. Arjuna was bewildered so that he refused to fight the battle of Kurukshetra at the very beginning. It's all arrangement of the Lord. Therefore, when certain events happen that look material from our point of view, either with the devotees or with the Supreme Lord, that is not so. These are arrangements of the Lord for certain purposes within his pastimes only, and nothing else. So we never attribute fault to the Supreme Lord for any of this. So in all cases, these devotees and the Supreme Lord maintain their very exalted position. And what this appearance that comes is for materialistic people. An appearance is given so that the materialists can accept that Krishna is only a material being and the Yadus are only material people, like everybody else in the material world. So because they fight and they get cursed, etc., they look like ordinary persons. So this is an appearance the Lord creates for continuing the illusion of materialistic people. That's all.
Guru Maharaj, what I ask maybe out of this topic, is there anything called as astral cord? What is the purpose of this cord? Astral cord.
What's that?
Astral cord.
The what?
I've come across something called as astral cord. Astral cord, A-S-T-R-A-L, the cord.
Astral cord. Oh, well, maybe. Depends on who's speaking, I don't know. But they refer to the connection of the subtle body with the gross body, so to speak, I suppose. And when you travel out of your body, then you're still connected by the astral cord, I suppose that's what it means. You travel in your subtle body, but you come back to this body because there's a connection there. I suppose that's what it means.
Is it the connection, the subtle body and the gross body, or there's an atma and the subtle body?
Well, both. The atma, of course, is always, the atma is present within the body, and then we have the subtle body, and we can say the atma can extend its consciousness outside the body as well. But basically, when you go outside the body and you perceive outside the body, then you're perceiving all of that with your subtle senses or whatever like that. And so, therefore, the subtle body has to project itself away from the body, and it's still connected to the body.
And this word ekatmanam is used in different contexts in different places. How do we interpret the meaning for that?
Well, literally it means one soul or one identification. According to context, if it's in reference to devotees, then that means that they're concentrating on only one goal, which would be the Supreme Lord. If it's in relation to Brahmavadis, then there would be Brahman, concentrating on Brahman, oneness of Brahman. If it's in relation to materialists, then it simply means they're concentrating on their material goal, that's all. They have one material goal in their life, or whatever like that. If it's a reference to the Lord, then it means He is everything. He is the soul of everything.